Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And together we are the Kapows! So we've been talking a lot about our parenting journey, my birth story, then surprises and struggles. I want to talk about breastfeeding, that journey and that struggle, because it was really hard. And I feel like social media really distorts what that should look like or what it should be. And I'm hoping that maybe if someone else out there has had as much of a struggle with their breastfeeding journey as I have, then maybe this will serve to be what I wish was out there for me to see.
Okay. Do you want to start with like what you thought?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
What your expectations were?
I remember when we sat down with our doulas and they were like, what are your expectations or hopes for breastfeeding? But this was before I'd given birth. And I was like, well, I want to get to a place where, now mind you, I knew very little. I knew next to nothing. And I was like, I really want to get to a place where I'm pumping enough so that Sean can give the baby one of the bottles every day. That's just said, well, you know, I want to be able to feed her, but then I want one extra bottle for Sean to be able to take part in her feed, you know, to play a role, to give me a break. Mm-hmm. And never even came close to that scenario. One, to the scenario where you're only feeding her once a day. Mm-hmm. And two, to the scenario where I was able to pump enough to give her a full bottle and feed her enough every nursing session. Mm-hmm. So that was my expectation. And I'd had friends say, you know, hey, make sure you get a lactation consultant, like line one up before you even give birth, because sometimes the one that they have in the hospital, you know, she's got so many people she needs to see. She's not going to be as great of a resource as finding a private lactation consultant and mm-hmm. just whatever. So we did that. We met with a lactation consultant ahead of time, and I didn't really have a great experience with that lactation consultant. She was like, oh, you know, careful with the pump because you don't want an oversupply. And I'm like, I would have loved an oversupply. Like what a thing to think that I even had to worry about was an oversupply.
Yeah. I think it's funny. We, you know, they're talking about latching, they're talking about this, they're talking about that, but they never address if you have undersupply.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even on our radar that was a possible outcome. And I mean, this kind of goes to pregnancy, right? Like you try and prepare for every possible outcome. And the more prepared you feel, the more in control you feel of your story.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this was an area where we weren't prepared for the outcome that we got.
Yeah.
And so then it became a negative thing and a struggle versus had we known that this was a realistic possible outcome.
Right.
We could have plans in place. We could, know what to do or, you mm-hmm. know, so I think this is why this is sort of a pain point, is that we just didn't ever expect that this could be
right
a reality.
And going into it, I was like, I have no issues with formula. Like if she needs to be on formula, then she needs to be on formula. Great. I'm ready for that. That was like in my head. And what ended up happening, I feel like it put me in a position to hate formula. And I think it's because we were like one foot in, one foot out the whole time, where there was this possibility that I could build my supply up. Like, I just need to work harder. I just need to take this other supplement. I just need to try this method that I read on the internet. It wasn't just like, hey, your supply is not going to ever come in, so just get ready for formula. Just do formula now. It was always like, but maybe let's try it. Let's just do this.
And I think that early on led to some arguments with us because for me, I feel like I sort of saw the writing on the wall a little before you did, but I want, you know, we wanted you to have every opportunity to grow your supply. Right. But early on, you want to keep going?
Keep going.
You know, we're trying to figure out how much we need to feed this baby. And I'm like, I don't care if it's breast milk or it's formula. I just know that this baby's hungry and we need to feed her a certain amount.
And I'm like, well, I need to tell my body that she needs more food. So I need to nurse her and not just resort to giving her a bottle when she's right. hungry, or my body's never going to catch up, or my body's never going to know that she needed food right then.
Right. And so, which is completely valid, you know, but that taking that route meant that like she was going to be unhappy and like we had to feed more frequently. So in my mind, I'm like, there's a very clear possible outcome here. If we just give her a formula, we eliminate X, Y, and Z problems.
If we just switch to exclusively formula.
Exactly.
So let's back up.
Yeah.
So in the hospital, we give birth. I immediately try to nurse her like the moment they're done her checkup. Like literally she comes out, they do what they need to do, their measurements, whatever. Then they put her on me to do skin to skin and I try to get her to latch. So I did all of that. You know, a friend of mine was like, I didn't do that because my labor was so long that I was too exhausted when she was born. I was like, I need to sleep. So she was worried that she didn't have a great breastfeeding experience either. And so she thought for sure, hey, it's because I didn't have that immediate skin to skin moment where we tried mm-hmm. to nurse. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, I have to do that because she said I need to try to do that. And so I did that. Whether or not it was successful, it was still the attempt, mm-hmm. you know. And then they move us to our like room that we're going to be in. And I'm trying to get her to latch. And it was really painful, which I think it is for majority of women. I could get her to latch one side and I was able to like hand express colostrum a little bit. You know, the nurses were a little pushy with breastfeeding. I was able to get her to latch on one side, but the other side she latched, but she latched on like not the right part. And so she kind of basically gave me a little hickey and the nurse like freaked out.
A nippy hickey.
A nippy maybe or a nicky.
A little nicky.
When the nurse saw that she like gave me a little hickey and that I was in pain, she like immediately, she was like, oh, you can't be in pain. If she injures you. Oh, and then I got like a little milk blister on the other side where she was latching. And she was like, if you're in pain, then you won't be able to nurse at all. So they like gave me nipple shields immediately in the hospital. And then it wasn't as painful, but it was still pretty painful. So I feel like in a sense, I wasn't prepared to know anything about nipple shields. And that felt thrust on me. I wish I would have just worked through the pain a little bit more. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I think it's easy to look back and say that, but like in the moment, you were in so much pain.
But I still was in pain. Like the nipple shields didn't solve that for like 2 weeks. I still was in pain with the nipple shields. Mm-hmm. Is this going to get flagged? Because I keep saying nipple. anyway, so we do the nipple shields. In my opinion, she's nursing. I can see there's colostrum in the nipple shields coming. There's colostrum coming out.
By all accounts, like the early days, like she was doing well. You were doing well. Like we thought like, okay, yeah, we're on schedule.
I was like, this is great. She's attaching. She latched really well with the nipple shield. Fast forward to her first checkup, like 2 days after we left the hospital. So she's 3 days old now. And she had lost like 9% of her body weight, which I heard was common. And they don't really, it's not really a concern until it's like 10%, but 9% is pretty close. And I was like, okay, again, wasn't prepared for what that meant. But the pediatrician was like, how do you feel about formula? I was like, great. If she needs formula, then I'll give her formula. I'm never going to not want to get her fed. Let's do formula. And so she told me that I need to triple feed, which meant I would nurse her and then you give her, offer her formula. And while you're giving her a bottle of formula, I'm pumping. And then whatever I pump is what we give her in the next bottle. And then we start that over and over and over and over and over. And just consistently supplementing. At the time, it was like an ounce of formula, a half ounce to an ounce of formula per feed. And so that was triple feeding is not for the weak. That is like she nurses it, you know, I was trying to nurse like 15 minutes on each side and she's falling asleep. So trying to keep her awake, I'm literally sitting there like for 30 minutes trying to keep this baby latched, keep this baby awake, and then also in pain, sitting in pain from labor and then also in pain from the breastfeeding was super painful. And we saw another lactation consultant and everyone looked and they were like, oh, she's got a great latch. Like that, you looks like you're doing it right. You're doing it great. I got my pump properly fitted. That's a big issue a lot of people have.
They use the default parts that come with it. I learned that.
Yeah.
Make sure you measure your nipples.
Yeah.
I know so much about breast pumps. It's insane.
Yes, we did all that. I had the correct, everything was about the pump was seemingly correct about the latch. Everything was going the way it, there didn't seem to be any issues with her latch. They checked, three different lactation consultants checked to see if she had a tongue tie and said that she didn't think they did. They all said she had a good latch and that she was, had a good sucking, like everything, as far as they, everyone could see, all of that was correct. And so after a week of triple feeding, my pumps, like I wasn't getting more output from the pump. We were still having to offer, she was hungry. And so that was like such a struggle. It was like, okay, she's crying. This could be cluster feeding. Let's offer the opportunity to nurse. And that never really resulted in stopping her crying. And so then we're giving her more formula and we never really got that under control. So then I saw another lactation consultant who I really loved here at the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. She was amazing. And we did weighted feeds with her to see how much Quinn was eating while breastfeeding. And that number never really went up. I finally got rid of the nipple shield because I was in so much pain.
Because we thought that might be limiting your flow as well and how much she could eat.
Yeah, it got to, it was like, okay, well, try this supplement. Okay, so I was trying, my pediatrician said, Moringa. Okay, so I'm taking Moringa, 2 pills, 3 times a day. And then this lactation consultant recommended this other thing called liquid gold. And so I'm taking that in addition to the Moringa, 2 pills, 3 times a day. I'm making all of the lactation cookie. I'm buying all the lactation cookies. I'm making them from scratch that this, everyone says, oh, I swear this is what helped me. Okay, great. Let's do that. You got to try power pumping. Okay. Power pumping is freaking insane. You pump for 20 minutes, take a 10 minute break, pump for another 10 minutes, take a 10 minute break, pump for another 10 minutes. That's an hour of your day right there. Just pumping and not, and then like, when do you do this? If she's eating every hour and a half in the beginning, every hour and a half, it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
Tried all that. Okay. I need more protein. Oh, I need to be hydrated more. Literally every suggestion there was. I mean,
like, not that you were drinking a lot anyways, but like you were cut out all alcohols. Like, All right, is the one glass of wine I'm having affecting you? So it's like you start to question everything you're doing. Is that affecting your milk supply?
Because I had read that alcohol can make your letdown slower. Which who knows if that's true. As I'm continuing to just try everything I can, she's in starting to want more formula, right? She's getting more hungry. Where my supply is not going up, but her hunger is. And there got to a point where she was like, about a month ago, she started like whipping her head off. And I was like, what's going on? Like, you don't even want to breastfeed anymore. Like first thing in the morning when I'm supposed to be the most full. It's also pretty telling, I think, that I was going through 9 hours at night,
yeah,
or 7 hours of sleep, but like, and not having to get up in the middle of the night and pump, which I asked my lactation consultant, like, should I be doing this? And she was like, you should sleep if you need to sleep. But I wasn't in pain. I wasn't getting engorged in the middle of the night. Like, oh, I think maybe twice I woke up and had to pump. But when I pumped, I was pumping 1 ounce, 2 ounces. The most I ever pumped in one sitting was 2 hours, and it was 2 ounces. And that was after many hours of not having pumped or nursed. Like, I'm pumping 5 ounces a day where she needs 4 ounces of feeding. Feed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I still like up until a week ago when I kind of decided this wasn't the journey for me, you know, I was pumping. So after she started like rejecting me, she would nurse in the morning for a few minutes and then whip her head off. She's not interested. It's just making her mad. Nurse, she would just be crying. Mm-hmm. So then I started pumping every 2 to 3 hours. She would get a bottle and I would just pump and try to collect enough to give her a full bottle of breast milk every day. And that got really, I think last week I reached my breaking point on that of just like, why am I pumping so much? It's uncomfortable, like trying to pump while I'm sitting at my desk working. It's so much work for such little output. That like last week I was just like, I don't feel like pumping anymore. And it's really sad because I want to breastfeed. If it were, oh, I need to breastfeed her every 2 to 3 hours, I would feel differently. Mm. It was this pumping for nothing. I finally was just like, I don't think I want to pump anymore. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, everyone hits their limit. I mean, it's been a crazy 3 months. I think for you, it was important to be able to say, I tried literally everything I could find. I think for you, you wanted to be able to say, I tried everything. And I think we have, We've spent thousands of dollars on lactation consultants. Gosh,
I've spent, like, I bought a mobile pump. I bought, or like, yeah, the port, the hands-free pump. I have two pumps. We have so many bottles. I have so many, a nursing cover. Like, I've never had to nurse her in public because, she doesn't nurse for very long. Mm-hmm. So there's all these experiences I feel like I missed out on. And I do feel like I tried literally everything I can. It's just sad. It's crazy because you just see on social media that, like, I went into this being like, I had freezer. I have a lifetime supply of freezer bags, right? Because I saw on social media, they're like, oh, women have freezers full of breast milk to store. And a friend of ours, like, had so much in her freezer that she was able to send her daughter to nanny care or daycare for several months with bottles of her breast milk she'd been storing for 6 months mm-hmm. and collecting. And so that's what I thought was the norm. And maybe it is. And I went into it thinking, like, I'm going to be collecting so much. I didn't know it was going to be this uphill battle mm-hmm. of just trying to get enough to feed her. And so yeah, it's really frustrating that I was expecting to have, I don't know, I just expected it to be all formula. Fine, let's just do all formula or a shit ton of breast milk.
Right.
I didn't expect to be giving her formula, but also trying to breastfeed and then pumping and doing everything that everyone else is doing, but putting in all the same amount of work, mm-hmm. but getting no results.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also maybe, I was involved with every single feeding as well. Cause it was like you were pumping or you were breastfeeding, but I was also giving a bottle.
Like every feed she's ever gotten has also involved you giving her a bottle.
Right. And so where a lot of other couples are able to alternate feed, it's like, all right, breastfeeding this time or bottle this time or whatever, where you can sort of break up the responsibilities and the duties. We were doing it together every single feed, which meant that neither of us got a break ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually kind of disagree in that regard. I think that made me feel less alone that you were always there with me while she was breastfeeding,
Yeah. I guess from that point, absolutely. We spent a lot more time, but just from as far as
I know what you're saying. There were opportunities to get other stuff done and you couldn't do if we're both there tending to her.
Right. If I'm giving her a bottle, you could have a 30-minute break or whatever, right. But instead of resting, you were pumping.
Right.
Or likewise, if you were just breastfeeding, I could have a 30-minute break. But instead, while you were pumping or breastfeeding, I also was giving her a bottle.
And I also had this big worry going into this that I'm just going to be this milk machine. And that the only source of food for this baby is going to be me. And I went in almost, it's hilarious. I went in kind of bitter thinking that oh man, Sean's not even going to be able to help. And it's just going to be me who supplies her food, and it's easier to just breastfeed over and over than it is to try to pump and get ahead to offer a bottle. I went in almost bitter about being the only source of food and then ended up wanting to be the only source of food. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to provide that. I don't know. It just feels like I think where I get really frustrated and really sad is it feels like I failed. People are like, oh, it's mom guilt. You feel guilty that you have to give her formula. I don't feel guilty that I have to give her formula. That's not it at all. I know there are plenty of people out there who have to give formula or want to give formula from day one. And there's nothing wrong with formula fed babies. I don't feel mom guilt. I feel embarrassed that my body couldn't do what it was supposed to do. I feel like I failed. I don't feel guilty giving her formula. I feel it's more than I wasn't able. Why does everyone else get to breastfeed and I can't? I've thrown every resource I have at getting my supply up, and I feel it just is not a good feeling to feel like my body is broken or not working properly, and I feel like I'm missing out on an experience. It's not guilt, it's shame. It feels embarrassing to not have been able to do that when everyone else, it looks. And again, I know social media is not real, but what if I'm only human and I can't, I watch things and think that I don't know.
Well, no one else who's in your situation is putting that out there, right? That's not a thing that's published on social media. You know, we've discussed this many times, but it's like some women overproduce, some women produce this much, some women produce this much. It's like every single thing, everyone's bodies are different. You know, you're looking for, oh, it was the nipple shield or it was this, or like,
or I want to be able to like
point to something.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like some bodies just don't produce enough. And
I don't accept that. I don't know. It's hard for me to accept that. Like, I feel like I've always been someone who, if I set my mind to something, I can achieve it. Mm-hmm. If I just try hard enough, if I just put in the time, put in the resources, put in the effort, I've never not been able to get the thing that I want. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I worked so hard. And so to still not achieve what I wanted to achieve is really hard for me to accept.
Yeah. But as we've discussed a lot too, it's important to take a look, take a step back and look at our baby. And she is a happy, healthy baby. And a lot of people would love to have that situation.
Yeah, I do. You know, she probably has been sleeping so well at night because we are regulating and we know exactly how much food she's getting.
Yep.
From the beginning, I have, you know, it's almost like she was getting formula and I was supplementing with breast milk, you know, like, because she has basically had bottles since the beginning, we know exactly how much food she's getting. And she doesn't wake up. She gets so many calories during the day that she doesn't wake up hungry in the middle of the night and sleeps great during the night. Yep. And I attribute that to maybe not necessarily formula, but having to give her bottles and knowing exactly how many ounces she's eaten. And so if I was just breastfeeding, you know, I do see some of the influencers I follow where they're like, oh, I'm up at midnight feeding. Oh, I'm up at 3 a.m. feeding. And the babies are Quinn's age or a little bit older. It's like, okay, if she was exclusively breastfeeding, I'm sure there would be something else that isn't ideal. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad. I do feel like she sleeps so well despite, you know, the struggle that mm-hmm. I've had. But I don't know. I just feel like I don't hear anybody, and I don't hear anybody talk about how they've had to supplement or they supplemented the whole time. You know, I feel like maybe everyone is as embarrassed as I am to be like, yeah, I wasn't able to breastfeed exclusively. And it's embarrassing. I don't know. It's embarrassing. Feels like this competition where if you don't have a freezer full of breast milk, then you're not doing it as well.
Yeah, I think for me early on, I sort of like misdiagnosed the situation because I was just like, it's a math equation. You know, she needs to get to this much. If you don't have it, we do this. And like, I just was sort of like dismissing the emotional side of it for you. And that's where we sort of like got in some fights. And then I saw you sort of like break down and it was like, oh, it's not just a math equation. You know, there's a very like real emotional side to it. And so I think when I realized that, even though the rational side of my brain is like, just do this because this is the quickest, easiest path to success, it was like, we need to pursue all of these things for Lauren and for your like emotional well-being to be able to say that we did all of it. Mm-hmm. So
it's like now she breastfeeds. I mean, her latch is so good now. It doesn't hurt. It's so cute. Like she like has head control. So she's like, rah! Like she, it's just, it's really bittersweet because now breastfeeding is so much easier, even albeit I can only do it for a few minutes and then she's done still because it's empty, but it's sad. I'm like, gosh, this would be so great. Like, and right now I decided I was going to quit last week and it's hard to quit because I don't get that like little breastfeeding moment first thing in the morning with her. Like, it's so cute. I didn't think it was going to be this hard to just stop, as like hard as it was to keep going. Like I said, I just didn't want to do the pumping thing anymore, but I can't. If you I stopped pumping and now I'm slowly like, there's less and less there for her. Oh, it's just sad.
We'll find new ways for you to connect with her. Do we feel like instead of going to therapy, we have a podcast?
Yeah, maybe.
Just a very public therapy session.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't talk about this if I didn't like hope that someone else is going through what I was going through and like wish that somebody was out there talking about this for me to have listened to.
I think that's very brave of you.
It's just hard. It's hard not to be jealous of other people, like having a good supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the educational side, it'd be good to be like, hey, what are the percentages of women who fall into this category going in? You know, if it's like, hey, there's, you have a 30% chance of falling into that, or, you know, I guess just sort of like preparing yourself for it, where like they focus on this is what happens, do this, do that, whatever. No one ever talks about, oh, if this doesn't happen, then what? You know, that's like the hospital didn't mention anything about this.
Right. I mean, it's hilarious that everything on my registry was for breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And nothing was for formula. I thought formula was going to be a thing down the line that once I decided to stop breastfeeding, I didn't even know those two things existed at the same time. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know, you know? And it's like, oh, we had to buy formula. We had to buy more bottles. We had to buy a formula maker, a bottle warmer, like all these things that weren't just for breastfeeding. I didn't even plan for any of that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can't really plan for it because what if you don't need formula?
Right.
Right. It wasn't even on my radar. The same way, like when we had that first miscarriage, going into the appointment and not hearing a heartbeat wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
I love being able to bottle feed her. It makes going out, you know, when we go out to a restaurant, like all these things, because it's been so easy to her to switch from breast to bottle has never been an issue for her. And that's been great. And having the convenience of just, okay, if we're going somewhere and pack a bottle, we know she's going to get a full feed and she's not going to be cranky. Like I love all of that. I already feel better not having pumped as much as I did in this last week. It's just that like,
I think there's a lot to be said about your emotional well-being, right? Haley was big on that about like when prepping prior to birth, like if it's not
serving you.
Yeah. If it makes you feel good, great. Do it. If it is a point of stress for you, then that's worse. Or doing it stressfully is just like, it has a worse outcome, you know? And mm-hmm. so it's at some point pumping became more of a source of stress for you than a source of joy or mm-hmm. you know, a beneficial thing. So, and like you said, there are a lot of positive outcomes that came from it, unintended or not.
Yeah.
She's almost mm-hmm. to our 12 hours and 12 weeks goal. And again, she's happy. She's healthy.
I definitely just wanted to get to a place where I can say there isn't a single thing that I didn't try to do. Mm-hmm. And I can look back while I'm still, you know, I feel like I'm grieving my breastfeeding journey, but I can still say like, I literally tried everything that I could to increase my supply. And at least I feel like I'm not going to wonder like, well, what if I had done this?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that should be helpful for you to get over, you know, get past it. And
all right. Well,
you feel better.
It's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm. I think we have so many other experiences in parenting to look forward to that this is, you know, such a minor blip on the radar. And right now it's huge because it's the only thing we're experiencing. But in the grand scheme of all the years spent parenting, this is a very short window.
That's very true. All right. Well, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I'm cup out of milk.
That's the best sign off we've had.
Okay, guess that's it. Let's not even redo that.
No, that's the one. Okay.